in a free-flowing service that we have. We don't always, well, actually, we never actually plan things that happen. They just unfold as the morning goes on. And so we always have an opening scripture because it kind of sets our spirit man in a right place to receive from the Lord through His Word. And it's good for us to open early in the service with the Word, and we come back a little bit later. Oh yes, so we have a huggy break coming up as well. So, you know, so if you're visiting, and I know that you have, you know about that. That's where we like to scare visitors. We tell them our service is so long, we have to have an intermission. But it isn't. It's just a wonderful time to greet each other. So the opening scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No, it isn't. It's chapter 2 in verses 9 through 12. And the scripture is not new to some of us, and it certainly was not new when Paul brought it to the church at Corinth, because it had its roots in Isaiah 64:4. While you're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which you have there. Okay, this is rooted in Isaiah 64:4, which says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen my God besides you. What acts for the one who waits for him, or who acts for the one who waits for him?" This, of course, says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." And oftentimes, as I've grown in my faith over the years, I've heard only people speak that much. They only use that one verse, and they leave you hanging like, how? So if I can't see and I can't hear and know and understand the things that God is doing, then that leaves me kind of in a fix. It leaves me almost like, well, so what are we going to do with that? And I'm so thankful for the next verse, because it tells us, these are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit, and how important that is. "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." And I have this in the NIV. That's what you have there. Okay, good. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of the Lord, of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." And how important it is to know and trust the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is the power factor. He is also the revelator. He is the one that takes the Word of God and gives us the revelation or the illumination of it or the understanding of it. Otherwise, they're just words on a page, just like any other book. But when God spoke, go all the way back to Genesis, there was nothing until God spoke. And then what happened? The Holy Spirit took God's words and formed or created what God spoke. It is really, really important, the work of the Holy Spirit. And also, Isaiah 55:9, I want you kind of, these scriptures that Paul brought to the church all had their roots in the Old Covenant. Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." And if a person just speaks that scripture in and of itself, the implication is, oh, you're dumb and stupid, and you can't know what God says, and you can't understand, and blah, 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 only the preacher knows the truth, and you're following somebody. But you need to follow the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that takes what God has spoken and reveals to you what's in God's heart. Every time I pick this book up and I read it, I see the Father's love. I see His provision. I see His care. I see His concerns, and I understand what His thoughts are. I understand what His heart is. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us and it shows us the Father's heart. We can fool one another with our words sometimes, but God never flatters us. He never lies to us. And what He says is true. And the Holy Spirit brings these to our remembrance so that we have a better understanding of what we've been given. And Jesus said in Luke 12:32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Well, how do you know what you got except the Spirit reveal it to us? So it's really important to depend on the Holy Spirit when we're reading scriptures together, or even in your own reading time. Take a few seconds before you read, even if it's a devotional, and ask the Lord by His Spirit to give you an understanding, to bring you a revelation, because remember the process: information, revelation, transformation. That's really important. That's God's process for growing us and maturing us and developing us into the mature, stable Christian that He desires of each of us. That we not be wishy-washy, Duncan yo-yo variety, up one day and down the other like a yo-yo. No, He desires that we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and that we don't have to live our lives in shakiness and instability. And it's so helpful to know the one who gives us this understanding, who puts this word in our hearts, and we walk it out as He leads us and shows us what it means, because otherwise it's useless if we think that we can live this life without the power of the Holy Spirit, because I can tell you, I don't think any of us could. We would not be fruitful. We would not be successful. We would not even understand the things that He's given us already of His own free will. And this book is filled with treasures. This book is filled with promises. And I really like the one that says that all of the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. You don't get a maybe. You don't get a, well, I'll give you three promises if you went to Bible study Tuesday night. I'll give you three maybe, but you know, the other 97, well, you'll just have to flounder around and go to church next week and maybe I'll give you a few more. No, He doesn't say that. He said they're all, every promise in Christ is yes and amen. So when you're praying, just thank God you're in Christ, and that every promise that concerns you in Christ is yes. So many things can be changed into prayers of thanksgiving when you realize what you have, what you've been freely given by the Father. And that is a real treasure. And I'm so thankful that when we come together, we can break the bread of the Word together and just edify each other. Last week, we were continuing our teaching on words and the importance of our words and learning to speak words according to the Word of God to bring life wherever we go, whatever we speak. And we were in Proverbs chapter 10 last week, and I'd like to come back there because we talked about the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Yes, and each week it's such a joy because we come together as one. And there's so many other things we could all be doing. I can't even understand, except for the Spirit, how we'd all get along together in the same room for so many years. But it's not about us, it's about Him, and we're His body. And worship brings our hearts together even closer because it gets our minds off ourselves, off our stuff, and onto Him and who He is. And not so much even for what He's done, but just for the fact of who He is. That's worthy of praise. And I like that you took the works part out of it, because we're not going to gain anything by thinking that we're going to gain God's favor by by trying to earn it, because that's what grace is all about. That's what the gift is all about, His gift to us. So thank you. And you didn't interrupt, so if you thought you did, you didn't. There, I find it hard, I find it difficult that when we're all gathered in a room, that if something of the Spirit moves you, that you have the liberty. And you know, we make a CD for the service, and Carol is learning how to edit that out, or Tom does, or sometimes it's part of it, but it's all part of why we're here. So anyway, coming back to Proverbs 10 in verse 11, this was the scripture we talked a lot about last week. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And we talked about, who are the righteous? Those that are in Christ. God has declared us to be righteous, justified, just as if we never sinned. We've been sanctified, set apart, made holy. And God sees us because of the blood of Christ, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. So when you see scriptures that pertain to the righteous, He's talking about you. You always need to see ourselves as the Word sees us, as what God says about us, because He's the one that really matters in the end. Who does God say we are? What does He say we are? And that's really important for our own self-growth. And that our words are a wellspring of life that flow out of that Holy Spirit-inspired life within us. But that was last week, and we looked at verse 11. I'd like to look at verse 13 now. Chapter 10 really is a contrast between the wise and the foolish. And one can tell very quickly if we're wise or foolish by listening to the words that we speak. When you're in a room and there's conversations going on, generally here, it is that wellspring of life. But when we go back out of here and we go back into the world, we don't hear a lot of people that expressing hope, purpose, joy, peace, encouragement. It's exactly the opposite in many cases. And the scriptures contrast that. Verse 13, in the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. I don't know if we're supposed to go around beating one another because we don't have any understanding, but my dad always used to say, you try to beat some sense into me, and the more you beat me, the more sense left. But it's talking about our words once again. In the lips of him that has understanding, we started talking about how the Holy Spirit gives us revelation, gives us discernment, gives us illumination to the word, if you will. And that person, when you talk or you enter into a conversation with that person, you're going to hear words of wisdom. And it isn't so much how long we've been a believer, although years do add to our experiences, but also as we grow in understanding, wisdom comes out of that. You don't make the same mistake twice. Hopefully you don't. We don't. And we learn. But wisdom is really something that's very valuable. It's a treasure. Solomon talked about seeking wisdom and seeking understanding because he knew how important that was. You can only learn so much from a person, but God is unlimited in the amount of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that he has, that we can draw upon that, and we will never get a dry response from the Lord. And we also made after his likeness. As we renew our minds to the word, we come to know what his will is, we come to know what his heart is, we come to know what his desires for our life are. And it's a wonderful plan. And each person has different calls, different skills, different gifts. But within that, the Holy Spirit enables us to grow in wisdom, in knowledge, and understanding. And Paul often prayed to the new churches, the New Testament churches in the Scriptures, that they would grow, that their knowledge of the Lord would abound more and more, that their love would abound more and more. So those things are possible for us to continue to grow. We haven't arrived. We're on our way, but we haven't really arrived yet. Here's the difference. It's the words. The words that we learn to speak. People can tell if we're really who we say we are, because our words will reflect that. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom or for lack of wisdom. So here you really can see the two contrasted. What would a person void of the Holy Spirit be able to speak into your life that's going to benefit you and help you and teach you how to live your life for Christ? If that person is not saved, does not have the Spirit, has no knowledge of the things of God, he's really foolish, because his house is built on the sand. And when the storms of life come and beat upon that house, it's going to fall, because it has nothing to stabilize it, nothing to stand on. But your words feed many. And I think of the testimonies this morning in Lorraine at the hospital. She is one of multitudes. And when we find ourselves in places where people are hurting, where people are reaching out, where people are looking for someone that knows something, that knows something of the kingdom of God, and they're not going to hear it from those who are not in God's kingdom. It's just really quite simple. We don't have to speak like the world does. Their lives are filled with negativity. They always see the worst in everything. I have a glass that's mostly full of water instead of one that's empty. Your life is full, it's not empty. Your life has purpose, it's not aimless. You don't wander and meander around in your life. You follow. You follow the Lord. You follow his word. And you're growing in wisdom, so that when people come to you and they share or are looking or seeking direction and purpose, you have the answers. Did not Paul say that we were to be ready in season and out to give an answer to those who ask of the hope that is within you? So you and I live with a hope, a living hope. And that hope is in Christ. That's a hope that will never die. We live in hope, we live in faith. And you always have the upper hand, you have the advantage. Think of how the Lord has qualified you to do what you do better than anybody else. That's why you're doing the doing in what you do. Because you're the best. You're the best at what you do. God didn't make any junk. You can do it in him and win. I like winning. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is the fight you win. It's not a good fight if you lose, is it? No, it isn't. No, it's a good fight when you win. And you can win at what you do, because of who's dwelling on the inside of you. And you feed many. There are many people in each life represented here. You have a circle of people that you have some influence, you're a part of. And when you speak, the room would almost get silent, because out of your lips, out of your innermost being, are going to come rivers of living water. everywhere you go, you speak words of healing, you speak words of hope, you speak words of deliverance, you speak words of life and encouragement and blessing and favor and victory and peace and love and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you speak words of power that change people's lives for the better. That's what he's talking about. That's you. You're the righteous. In verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. How would you know that? If the righteous is talking about us, how would we know what's acceptable? Acceptable to God. How would we know that? Because of the Spirit that gives us revelation, that gives us understanding when we read. We can read what is and what isn't. But the contrast is, but the mouth of the wicked or the unsaved speaks frowardness. They don't really know what they're talking about. And it doesn't take long to determine that if we take the time to listen. That's why I like our Friday night. Our Friday night bowling night has started again, and we're there with many of the unsaved. And all you have to do is just listen. You don't have to participate, but just listen to people who have no... They don't have any joy. They don't seem to express the peace that we have. They're void of understanding the things of the Lord, and they can't any more than we could before we were saved. Neither could we. All I knew is I didn't want to be around any crazy Christians. Before I got saved, I said, then they started playing Christian music, and boy, I didn't want any part of that either. I didn't even want to go listen to their music. And now, look at what's happened. And I'll tell you, if God can save me, there's hope for anybody. Now, I wouldn't want to be caught dead without Jesus. In fact, I had a bumper sticker that brought embarrassment to some in our family. I've had it right on the back, "Don't be caught dead without Jesus." That was powerful for tailgaters. I'd like to find another one. I was old, but boy, it was powerful. It was a good reminder. Well, we'll look at one more, and then we'll just feast on these for the week and meditate on these, because I like to bring them, and then hopefully some of you write them down so that you can come back and revisit those in your own devotional time and really, really look at what the Lord is speaking through Solomon. Proverbs 11, verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Just is a short word for justified. You've been made just. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So these Old Testament principles, even though they use the word just, it means justified. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. You don't want to destroy your neighbor. You might need to borrow a snowblower in a few months. He'll tell you where to put your snow. In love, of course. This is so personal, because when we talk about words, it's the only way we communicate, really. And it seems like God has all the bases covered in our conversations that we should be having and that we can have. And we'll look at verse 11 and we'll stop with there. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Did you know that your words can change the atmosphere of the town that you live in? Did you ever think about that? If you go around cussing and complaining and squawking and murmuring about where you live and all the things that are wrong, you're just continuing the death march with your mouth. You're speaking death over your own town and your own neighborhoods and the people that live in them. But if you start speaking words of life over your town, you can change it. You can start with your neighborhood. You can change the schools. That's why everybody wants to go to Chester schools. Why? Because there's a spiritual stronghold that was broken over our town many years ago. And to this day, we continue to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over Chester, over our schools, over our local government, over our neighborhoods. And it's not filled with robbers and bandits and drug addicts roaming through the neighborhood seeing whose house they can loot and bust into. Why? Because many, many years we continuously speak these words over our town. You where you live need to do the same thing if you want to see things change. Don't be like the person that it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. They overthrow their own town. They throw it to the wolves, if you will, because they don't know anything about speaking words of life, how important this is in our neighborhoods, in our communities. It does make a difference. Have you seen the powerful outpouring of the Christian influence in Texas and Oklahoma over this hurricane thing? Why? Because that is a breadbasket of faith in speaking the words. That's word of faith territory down there. And that the Christianity, the Christian community, has so professed and spoken and declared the goodness and favor of the Lord for generations. And it has totally impacted and changed every business. Everywhere you go, there are believers that are strong in their faith and they've made a difference in their communities. And it starts by learning to speak blessings over your town and not just tearing them down. The devil knows how to tear people down, but we should learn how to lift people up. And this is very powerful. This one little verse right here can change where you live. It can change your town. It can change your state. And think how bad it would be if there weren't any Christians. You know, we talk about how liberal and left-wing and socialist the state of Vermont is in Oregon, and we don't want to feed that machine. It's been that way because people have spoken it. And think what it would be like if there was no one speaking words of life. Did you ever think how bad it could really get if it weren't for the Christian community? The people that are praying, the people that are speaking right things over there where they live? This is really powerful. And I don't mind talking about it because I can see over the years the benefit of seeing things change, doing prayer walks through your neighborhoods. And if you're not walking, every time you drive by, extend your hand out and release the favor of God on those businesses. Release the favor of God when you go to restaurants, when you go to the gas stations. Did you ever notice how when there's nobody there, suddenly there's a line behind you?
That's right.
You know why? Because you bring God's presence. You bring His favor. You bring His blessing. Everywhere you go, there's an anointing that just flows out of you. There's an impartation of the Spirit. Wherever you go, you bring Him. And wherever God goes, things prosper. Things get better. Now, when you combine that with speaking it, you release that into the atmosphere as well to bring spiritual change. And it may not happen overnight, but be diligent, be faithful, keep with it. It works. The Word always works. So I'm going to leave that with you today. Something to think about to wherever you're going from here. Be like the upright, the blessing of the upright. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Your town is exalted. Your neighborhood is exalted by your words as you speak blessing. Anybody need prayer this morning?